Welcome to Reinventing Professionals, a podcast hosted by industry analyst Ari Kaplan, which shares ideas, guidance, and perspectives from market leaders shaping the next generation of legal and professional services.
This is Ari Kaplan, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Colin Starkweather, the Director of Data Science at Luminos.law, a boutique law firm that assists clients in managing the privacy, fairness, security, and transparency of their AI and data, and Dr. Izzy Nelkin, a financial mathematician and the founder of Supercomputer Consulting, which develops tools for securities pricing and valuation. Colin, Izzy, great to speak with you.
Yeah, nice to speak with you.
Likewise. Thanks for having us.
Colin, tell us about your background and your role at Luminos.law.
I'm going to have to go all the way back to the dot-com era here, because we're talking a little bit before the podcast started here about our dot-com days. I was a software engineer and architect back in the dot-com era while I was in graduate school, and worked with several startups then, which was a pretty wild ride. And then after I finished graduate school, I started working with a number of economists at the University of Chicago and Northwestern. And in that role, I was serving as a support to expert witnesses primarily. We did a lot of different kinds of work, but mostly expert witnessing in a litigation context. And worked there for a couple of decades in that business, but recently decided to go back to my roots and joined boutique law firm, Luminos.law, which is located in DC. And if you're not familiar with that bar, I don't know if it's unique, but it's certainly different in that in DC, you can have both lawyers and non-lawyers partnering a law firm. And so Luminos.law is helmed by a combination of lawyers and data scientists. And there I serve as a director of data science, where I assist clients with AI audits, basically helping clients navigate what many perceive as treacherous waters and are in fact somewhat treacherous, as we'll discuss a bit more today.
Izzy, tell us about your background and in particular, what inspired you to collaborate on your recent article focusing on the use of generative AI by expert witnesses?
I have a PhD in computer science. And then at some point I switched to mathematical finance. I was a lecturer at University of Chicago, Masters of Science in Financial Mathematics program. And I've also had a long career giving seminars all over the world, internationally, all over the world. At some point, I wrote or edited 8 books on financial mathematics. And then at some point, this traveling became a little bit difficult. The older you age, the more you age, the more the jet lag, etc. So I did a little switch to expert witness type of. So that's where we met with Colin, because he was working at a firm that I was external expert witness consultant in, and we worked on some cases, and then we decided to, we've written a series of papers on all kinds of topics, and we noticed that there's a lot of work on how lawyers, what lawyers should do and shouldn't do with this generative AI, but we haven't seen much discussed in the way of expert witnesses. And I thought, okay, here's a little bit of a different angle, which we're all looking for an angle.
So. Colin, with that in mind, what are some common use cases between how lawyers leverage generative AI and how expert witnesses do?
It's an important distinction, because if you think about the Venn diagram, there's really quite a bit of overlap. But where there isn't overlap, those serve as some important considerations that distinguish the two. And I think that here, where we wrote our article as a public service announcement of sorts for both lawyers and experts, not just because lawyers are confronting the prospect of generative AI, but they also oftentimes have to work with witnesses and have to be aware of the caveats that they're expert witnesses really should be bear in mind as they're doing their work. So I think we're in that sense, we're serving as experts on experts here. We can consider ourselves meta experts,
yeah,
of sorts. And this question of where's the overlap, I'll first talk a little bit about where the overlap is, and Izzy, feel free to jump in here if there's something I omit, but I think experts could be divided along a spectrum. You have experts who do more document-driven work, and you have experts that do more numerically intensive analytical work. And I think lawyers really, the greatest overlap is more on the document-driven side of things. Right. And so I think where document-driven work is concerned, there's quite a bit of commonality between what lawyers do and what experts do. And in my experience working with law firms and experts together, sometimes you'll find that work shifted between the two. Sometimes the lawyers are better at finding things in a trove of discovery. Sometimes the expert team is better at sifting through the documents. On the analytical side, that's where things really diverge. A lot of the work that Izzy and I do is heavily numerically intensive. We're dealing with securities matters. We're dealing with sophisticated numerical techniques, regression analysis, econometrics, statistics, and these days, machine learning, and all of those new techniques that have come to bear recently. And so I think in terms of generative AI, right now, generative AI is really more a part of the scene on the document side, but it's going to progressively encroach on the analytical side.
Let me give you an example just to follow up with that of a recent case that I was working on. We had millions and millions of quotes in some asset class, and we wanted to see if somebody was doing something that might be suspicious, whatever it was. So the experts, we together with the lawyer, we crafted some kind of criteria. But from those criteria, then you have to find the several hundred or several dozen of these quotes that have these criteria out of millions and millions. Of course, you do this computerized. Now you can. When they wanted to make sure that this is bulletproof, that there are no mistakes, that we found all of them and didn't omit any of them, and et cetera. So we had assigned several different programmers, and we each programmed like a search of all these records. Each of us programmed by themselves, right? We didn't use any of this AI techniques. But on other projects that I've had to develop software for myself, for example, or for other uses for myself, not expert witness uses, I was able to use these large language models to generate code for specific uses. So here is an example that you might have been able to save some time by having the computer having the language model write a computer program to sift through those millions of records. That's something that is maybe an expert witness role and not necessarily a lawyer role.
Colin, what type of guardrails should law firms implement when using generative AI?
They're very similar to guardrails that they use in any case. But for example, here in this case that I just gave you, we had to make sure that this is, as the lawyers ask for, is bulletproof. So it's correct. So let's say you use some kind of program to sift through these and find those several dozen records. Do you know if it's correct? It doesn't really matter if you wrote it or if the generative AI wrote it. If it's generative AI, you might have even less of an inkling how it found them, or you might just take the code as is. And sometimes we have these famous hallucinations, very famous examples of hallucinations where you ask it to multiply 2 4-digit numbers and it gives you the wrong answer, but it looks correct. So you have to double. Right now, I think the state of the art is that you have to really double check the results. You'd have to do that in any case with any results that are produced by yourself, because I can make mistakes and so can junior staff that works with me. They can make mistakes too. So you have to do it in any case, but you have to do it even more so with generative AI produced content. The other thing that is unique to generative AI is that you don't want data leakage. A lot of the data that we have is confidential and proprietary. If I just put it into let's say I just put a bunch of documents into a large language model, is that proprietary to me, or does it, can it use that data to learn other things and put them outside to someone else? So these are some of the issues.
And going back to that overlap we were talking about earlier between lawyers and expert witnesses, I think on the document side of things, you've got the kinds of things that lawyers are already going to be tuned into, which is check your citations, right? You've got, I think, yep. Stephen Schwartz, if I remember his name, was a lawyer who I think was the first one. They call him ChatGPT lawyer now, and probably stings that I even know his name. But he was, I think, the first widely publicized example where a lawyer managed to get some bogus citations into a brief. And then 6 months later, right, was apparently Michael Cohen, who was Trump's former fixer, his lawyers hadn't quite gotten the memo yet, and they did the same thing. Oh. And that's the kind of thing that I think is important, not just for lawyers, but expert witnesses as well, because everything an expert does has to be supported. That is, yeah. If you're making an assertion, if you're expressing an opinion, you have to have a foundation for that opinion. And even more so than for lawyers, I think if there's a little bit of fudge factor in what you say in a complaint, there's far less in what you can say in an expert report. And so, you know, you need to check your citations. If you're working with an expert, you need to have the discussion with your expert. Say, are you using generative AI? How are you using it? Is your staff tuned into the potential pitfalls here? Are you checking your citations? Are humans actually going in and checking your citations? Right. And then I think you also, if you're working with an expert, have to be confident that the expert's opinions ultimately are defensible. And of course, the expert wants to know. But as a lawyer, you need to, I think, go into a court of law feeling comfortable with your expert's testimony.
The one thing that's different from an expert in a generative AI, of course, is that the expert has his personal integrity at stake in the courtroom, where the opposing counsel will ask them, did you do this? Did you do that? How did you? And if they find mistakes or glaring errors, it's a person's self, I don't know, it's an emotional thing to be an expert. Where the generative AI, I don't know that it actually cares in the same way or... So the person has some skin in the game. It's like a chess program, right? I care if I win or lose in chess, but the Alpha Zero might not. He wins every time, but maybe it doesn't care if it wins or loses. I don't think it gets upset.
This is Ari Kaplan speaking with Dr. Colin Starkweather, the Director of Data Science at Luminos.law. And Dr. Izzy Nelkin, a financial mathematician and the founder of Supercomputer Consulting. Colin, Izzy, thanks so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Reinventing Professionals podcast. Visit reinventingprofessionals.com or rekaplanadvisors.com to learn more.